talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Hey, did you guys hear about this this event? Is it still going on? I don't know. Maybe Travis knows if it's still going on. Somebody wrote about it on our websites here recently. Paranormal Cirque. Paranormal Cirque. Did you guys hear about this? They had a big circus tent set up near the Rimrock Mall in Billings, and I heard it wasn't as crazy bad. Like, when I watched like the video, the YouTube trailer for this, I was like, man, you know, I like a good haunted house on Halloween, but I don't know, that looks a little evil. That looks a little too much for me. I heard it wasn't as bad. It wasn't that bad, but that's just what I heard. I didn't go to it myself, but did you guys hear about this Paranormal Cirque? Got a lot of attention. I know that story got a lot of clicks on our websites, you know, because it stands out, right? I mean, a circus coming to town itself would kind of stand up, and now you got a Paranormal Cirque. It's like, whoa, that looks crazy. I mean, it's like a circus combined with a haunted house. So I don't know if the Paranormal Circus tent is still set up near Rimrock Mall, but I know it prompted this thought. We talk about the Montana Democrat Party and John Tester and Joe Biden. What a clown show. What a circus they are turning this country into. But then, like, it dawned on me, this isn't a clown show. This isn't a circus. This is freaking paranormal what they're doing to America right now. This is Paranormal Cirque. This is a freaking paranormal circus that Joe Biden and John Tester are creating. I mean, think about it. I mean, would you be surprised if here you are at the Paranormal Circus and you got, you know, the zombie Halloween show, people with, you know, dressed like zombies with fake blood on them. And then all of a sudden, John Tester pops out with a meat grinder and missing fingers. Oh, no, kids, look out. It's John Tester with a meat grinder. The Montana Democrat Party literally wants to be able to chop body parts off of kids. That's why they were opposed to Governor Gianforte and the legislature passing and signing legislation into law to protect kids. I mean, they're importing the fentanyl, the Mexican drug cartels, the sex traffickers coming across the southern border. They're putting the criminals back out onto the streets, but they want to put their political opponents behind bars. This is a freaking paranormal circus that they are creating here all across America and even here in Montana. These people are absolutely nuts. They have gone completely off the freaking deep end. This isn't your normal circus anymore. I know you see the circus tent, you see the clowns, but these clowns have blood on their hands, and oh my goodness. I mean, anyway, that was just the thought of the day. The Joker from Twitter will be with us in a couple of hours. We'll get his take on this paranormal circ that's taking place all across America. I mean, absolutely sickening and disgusting what they are doing on these college campuses. And it's not just at Columbia and Yale. They are doing this all across America. I mean, these radical anti-Semitic nut jobs painted a Palestinian flag on the M during the Cat Grizz game. I'm telling you, you know, it's paranormal circ in Missoula, in New York, across the entire country.
Securing America.
Anti-Semitism is surging on college campuses. Demonstrations Monday, virtual classes over safety concerns and dozens of arrests at New York's Columbia University and at Yale, with pro-Palestinian events at MIT and other universities. Demonstrators have also blocked traffic in California, Chicago, and New York, where NYPD Deputy Commissioner Michael Gerber says violence will not be tolerated.
People should be aware that if you cross that line and commit a crime, the NYPD will respond accordingly.
President Biden Monday in Virginia saying,
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests.
The White House has also said that calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay up around 60 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy.
Low temperature readings back around the mid-30s. And the outlook for Wednesday does call for more sunshine. Highs from around 70 to 75. Partly cloudy skies expected Wednesday night. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you know, we've got normal clown show stuff going on, and then we got the paranormal clown show stuff going on, don't we? Let me just go pop into my Twitter feed here, x.com/Aaron Flint. There's normal clown show stuff, and then there's paranormal clown show stuff, the paranormal circ. So KJJR Radio out of Kalispell, they shared this. You could actually see the logos side by side. Were you guys on the show on Friday around 9:40 in the morning? You know, the last couple of segments of this show for last week, we had Congresswoman Harriet Hegeman out of Wyoming. You know, she's the member of Congress that kicked Liz Cheney to the curb. She defeated Liz Cheney down in Wyoming. I'll tell you what, she's been somebody who's been standing up for folks here in the Rocky Mountain West for a number of years, standing up for agriculture, oil, gas, coal, you name it. And so anyway, Congresswoman Harriet Hegeman, though, she was one of the impeachment managers who was picked to be one of the impeachment managers for the impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And you remember, John Tester failed to fulfill his constitutional duty and voted to completely dismiss the charges before any of the evidence was even heard, before any of the constitutionally outlined process was even conducted. And so she wanted to sound off. That's why she joined us here on Montana Talks, because she wanted to sound off on this flip-flop, flat-top liberal Senator John Tester. But one of the things I'd thrown out to her, because she has been going after the Biden BLM, the Biden Bureau of Land Management, and, you know, for their anti-agriculture, anti-oil, gas, coal maneuvers that we've seen with the radical environmentalists in charge of the BLM right now under Biden. And you know who the head of the BLM is. It's the eco-terrorist Tracy Stone Manning, the radical environmental activist out of Missoula who was connected to a tree spiking federal case back in the 90s. And she had lied to everybody about her real role in that eco-terrorism case. She had downplayed her connections to that eco-terrorism case. She even lied before the Montana State Legislature because Bullock made her the head of a state department while he was governor, a former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock. And she lied to state legislators and downplayed her actual role in that eco-terrorism case. She's the one who's now the head of the BLM. Well, anyway, one of the things I threw out, I said, hey, did you hear about this crazy story? So you've got a baseball team in Kalispell, Montana. They're called the Glacier Range Riders. So, you know, Billings has the Mustangs. Well, they've got the Glacier Range Riders in Kalispell, Montana. KJJR tweeted out the two logos here. So, you know, the National Park Service logo has an arrowhead, and then it says National Park Service, and then it's got a tree, and it's got a mountain, and it's got a bison. And the Kalispell Range, or the Glacier Range Riders logo is an arrowhead with RR for Range Riders. Two big R's on it, right? For Range Riders. So two very different logos. Arrowheads are used in how many different logos? Heck, I think I just saw a Montana National Guard soldier yesterday who had a similar arrow patch on his shoulder at that, you know, oh yeah, well, grocery store shopping. You know, because I think it's, what is it, this is it the Montana Guard headquarters element now? That's the patch they wear. Anyway, similar looking paps. What is? Oh, is the Department of Interior going to sue the Montana National Guard now too? Are they going to sue the Devil's Brigade for their arrowhead patch from World War II with the USA Canada on it? The Department of Interior is suing the Glacier Range Riders for a trademark violation over the baseball team's arrowhead logo. The Department of Interior claims people will be confused and associate it with the National Park Service. What do you think? And I just shared that 14 minutes ago via X.com. As Representative Hageman pointed out right here on Montana Talks, it shows you that we are being governed right now by unserious people. And it also demonstrates that they have far too much time on their hands and far too much money to spend. Now, a few minutes ago, I talked about the paranormal circ that Joe Biden and John Tester are creating in America, the crazy paranormal circus that we are seeing break out across this country. This type of stuff is normal circus, normal clown show, normal Democrat Party clown show type of stuff. Suing a baseball team over a logo. The National Park Service, the Department of Interior, suing a baseball team over a logo. This is normal Democrat Party clown show stuff. $35 trillion in debt. Our border completely unsecured. That's paranormal circus stuff. And yet they have time to sue a baseball team in the Flathead Valley of Montana. So there's paranormal circus stuff. There's normal clown show stuff, everyday clown show stuff when the Democrats are in charge. This is an example of that. We could have a field day talking about the paranormal circus that Joe Biden and John Tester have created in America. And it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not joking. I am serious when we talk about this paranormal circus. I mean, it is so sickening and disgusting to see what they are doing. Did you know they're doing remote classes in New York City again today? Remote classes again today because of the violence and the threats being directed at Jewish students on college campuses. It is so sick and twisted what they are doing and what so many Democrats are celebrating.
Sold. With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northlund. It was a busy time for cattle and sheep producers in our nation's capital as legislative conferences were held by the Public Lands Council and National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And it was great catching up with cattle producers from across Western Ag Network country. And nothing quite compares to seeing cowboy hats and boots on Capitol Hill. Rancher Turk Stovall is second vice president of the Montana Stock Growers Association, and he says the legislative conference is a way for all states to work together to advance the cattle industry.
Well, one thing you'll find out when you come out here and you have your cowboy hat on and your boots, you know, you definitely draw attention. And so just with many of us out here with our cowboy hats on, that's maybe this is the way we look every day, you know, we're drawing attention just by being here. And so, you know, it's been really neat working with the other states of taking the message of this is what our beef industry needs. And these are important issues that have to be addressed, not only right now, but it's for these, really the importance for our industry. It's been actually humbling just to be part of the process. And you learn a lot. And what I've been excited about is you learn more about the process to be able to share that story when we go back home and visit with producers.
One of the issues cattle producers discussed was passing a farm bill. Representative G.T. Thompson, chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, stopped by and spoke with attendees.
The House Ag Committee has been working with due diligence, and it's going really well. I will tell you, this farm bill in the House is largely written. Without a doubt, we will mark this bill up before Memorial Day.
Stovall said it means a lot to have the chair of the House Ag Committee stop by.
There's no doubt our organizations are really on the front lines, and they're on the front lines with the decision makers. And just to have the chairman here at one of our receptions and giving us an update shows you just the power of how our organizations can really have an influence on policy and what is going to make a difference back home. We've been asking for an update in all of our congressional meetings, but just having the chairman right there and giving us a firsthand update was very meaningful. And you could see his passion of really trying to get this move forward because he understands how important it is to all of us.
But over the weekend, House Democrats raised opposition to key aspects of the Republican farm bill, putting into question whether or not the House can mark up the bill before Memorial Day.
Energy costs in Montana have nearly doubled in the past 4 years. Hi, this is Randy Brown with Pure Light Power. Don't be at the mercy of a utility company when you can go solar and own your own power. Pure Light is a local company that sources, designs, and installs solar energy systems, even for farms and ranches. To set up a no-cost, no-obligation consultation to see if you qualify for zero down and up to a $35,000 tax credit, call me at 406-694-4949. That's 406-694-4949.
Join the Montana Grain Growers Association team and help drive the grain industry forward as the new policy director. MGGA is seeking an individual to foster working relationships with state and national leaders, develop strategic policy and resolutions, and collaborate with industry stakeholders and coalitions. Applicants must be organized and confident communicators who represent the values of the Montana Grain Growers Association and our constituents. Send resumes to MGGA at mgga.org.
The weekly crop progress report is out, and the condition of the nation's winter wheat crop is 50% good to excellent. That's down 5 points from last week, but still up 26% from a year ago. 16% of the crop was rated poor to very poor. 15% of the nation's spring wheat was also planted. As of Sunday, as for corn planting, it moved 6 percentage points ahead last week to 12% complete. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northline.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yesterday, I was telling you about this story at the United States Supreme Court. There's a big court case that was heard at the United States Supreme Court yesterday. Grants Pass. It's a case out of Oregon. And it is the case that basically the reason people here in Montana are watching it closely, and I've got a write up about it on our Montana Talks website right now, is because this is the ruling out of the, you know, reliably leftist Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're finally, thanks to President Trump and Republican senators from 2016 to 2020, we've seen a little bit more balance brought to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but there's still a lot of nuttiness there based in California. But that's the circuit court that oversees Montana. So the one excuse that cities like Bozeman and cities like Missoula have had that they've used to provide cover for their pro-transient policies is they've said, well, we've got this Grants Pass ruling. We aren't allowed to go after these man camps and these transients that are, you know, that are destroying our city parks or destroying, you know, making it unsafe for kids to walk to certain places after school. Yeah, we'd really love to crack down on those transient encampments, but we can't because of the Ninth Circuit. And they're partially right, but they're still wrong. They're wrong, as I pointed out yesterday, because they'll claim, well, we can't do anything about those transient encampments on the other side of the street. Well, why are there transient encampments on that side of the street, but there's none on the other side of the street? Well, there's no parking signs on the other side of the street. Well, why don't you put the no parking signs on both sides of the street? So if they actually wanted to crack down on these transient encampments in Bozeman, they could. They just don't want to. Because just like the Democrats are the party of open borders in this paranormal circ invasion taking place on our southern border, they are the party of the transient invasion, recruiting transients to move into places like Missoula and Bozeman. So they don't want to crack down on the transients. They want to create this chaos. But anyway, I saw the Lee newspapers with their distinguished Capitol Bureau. Now, the reporter is new, so I guess we can withhold judgment. Maybe she just doesn't know the background. Maybe she just wasn't here last year or 2 years before that. So maybe she doesn't know the background, But the Lee newspapers, which is the Billings Gazette, the Missoulian, the Helena IR, etc., their state capitol reporter did a big story, kind of like the story I told you about yesterday, where All eyes are on the United States Supreme Court in this case when it comes to the homeless topic. But let me break down what was not included in this story, what wasn't mentioned in this story, because you can see a pro-transient bias dripping through this coverage, just completely dripping through this coverage. So I'll tell you about that here in 60 seconds after this Fox News update.
News, I'm CJ Papa. Some housekeeping up first. At the trial of Donald Trump, who's the first ever former president turned defendant in a criminal trial, is Mr. Trump talking too much?
Judge will hear arguments from prosecutors who say former President Trump violated his gag order. Now, the gag order prohibits Trump from talking about witnesses and jurors involved in the hush money case, but the DA's office says Trump violated the gag order 10 times.
Fox's Brooke Singman this morning begins at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. The campuses Yale, NYU, Columbia, Harvard, UC Berkeley, other institutions around the country, the flashpoints of anti-Israel protests. Harvard closes Harvard Yard until Friday. Columbia switches to hybrid learning until the end of the spring semester. Rice University in Houston setting up a liberation zone today. And their events scheduled at Tufts, MIT, Emerson College in Massachusetts today as well. America's listening to Fox News.
He violated his gag order. Oh, cry me a river. Now, is that story, is that paranormal clown show, or is that just a typical Democrat clown show? I think you could argue that a gag order on a presidential candidate while Jewish students are being assaulted on campuses in New York City while criminals are being put out on the streets, I think that's paranormal circus. I don't think that's just normal Democrat Party clown show that we're seeing in New York City right now. Related to that story that you just heard in the Fox News update, go to thedailycaller.com. Former DOJ official pours cold water on Alvin Bragg's hopes to jail Trump for alleged gag order breaches. This was a former DOJ official who was on CNN with Jake Tapper, and I don't think old Tapperoo really liked the response there from that former DOJ official. So that's at thedailycaller.com. All right, where is this story? I saw it in the Billings Gazette this morning here. No, not the one about the electric school buses. Nobody really cares. Ah, here it is. Montana cities watch U.S. Supreme Court case on homeless encampments. Now, the reporter, I think, is new to their state capitol bureau. She used to work at NPR, and we all know how biased NPR is. Basically, the place is filled chock full of Democrats. The place is completely biased. Anyway, you know, it is what it is, right? I didn't send the email yet. Let me send that email. Okay, there we go. I wanted to send the reporter an email because, you know, maybe the reporter is new to Montana and doesn't know the full background. And, you know, and you've only got these people chirping in your ear. And, you know, so you only know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. I'm not going to assume that they're biased, even though they came from even though she came from NPR, et cetera. But here's the questions that I threw to the Helena IR reporter. I noticed in your report about homelessness, you described Kalispell as, quote, the town where a homeless man was beaten to death last year. Why no mention of the homeless man who murdered a local gym manager? By the way, his killer was just sentenced in November. So it's not like that story was from 5 years ago or 10 years ago. The killer, a homeless man who murdered a gym manager in Kalispell, Montana, was just sentenced in November. And then, you know, there was a lot about Bozeman, a lot written in this story about the city of Bozeman. Why no mention of the transient who raped a 14-year-old girl? And I just, it might be a good follow-up for your coverage this week. Now, again, some of these other Capitol reporters, I've seen their coverage for several years now. They're biased. They're in the back pocket for the Democrats. This reporter's new, so, hey, maybe she'll do a follow-up and balance out this pro-transient biased coverage that I saw in the Billings Gazette today. Maybe. Don't hold your breath, though.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Robert Kraft, AOC, LGB. We got a few sound bites we want to get into here to queue up more of this conversation. So talking about how now at some of these so-called Ivy League schools, they're now, because of the threats and some of the assaults that have been taking place, the calls for violence, the call for murder directed towards these Jewish students or pro-Israeli students. It's not just the Jewish students that are being targeted. That's bad enough, but they're also targeting any student who speaks out in support of Israel. And so they are now holding remote classes once again today, as I understand it.
Jewish students told us right away they don't feel safe on this campus and they want to see real change here. And so do their parents, right? They pay all this money to send them to this Ivy League university. The protests, though, continue again, Columbia and across New York. And it's not just here, right? This happened at NYU overnight. The NYPD was actually called onto that campus, which is private property. But the school said, please come in and help us, because they had up all these encampments and tents. They're following in the footsteps of Columbia. This comes as there are growing calls for the president of Columbia University to resign.
Now, Robert Kraft, you guys know who Robert Kraft is? He's the owner of the New England Patriots. He is now pulling his support for Columbia University due to anti-Semitic protests. Let's see. I've got a soundbite, but let's play the full report for you here from Fox News Radio once again.
Kraft telling Fox's Hannity he never thought he would see such hate and vitriol against Jewish people in the United States.
We can't have this intimidation that's filtering through all these colleges, and the hate continue to grow and multiply the way it is.
Tensions running so high in nearly a week of protests at Columbia University, the billionaire says he's decided to discontinue donations to his alma mater. The school switched to remote learning for the rest of the semester to de-escalate the situation. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
All right, meanwhile, Ben Shapiro has a write-up at thedailywire.com. Anti-Semitic left strikes at Columbia University. He writes this, there is a cadre of students at Columbia University who decided to occupy the center of the campus and harass Jewish students. They yelled, "Stop killing children and go back to Poland," as the Jewish students were simply trying to get from campus back to their dorm rooms. They chanted for Hamas to hit Tel Aviv. They tried to form a human chain to keep Jewish students out. One anti-Semitic student decided to stand right in front of several pro-Israel protesters, suggesting they be killed with rockets. And then I told you yesterday at, I believe it was the Yale campus, a Jewish student was stabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flagpole. And yet, listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Listen to what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has to say. Here we go again. We're back to this whole peaceful protester thing when they're not peaceful.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Ah, yes, peaceful protesters. As these white liberals are, you know, with their Palestinian, you know, scarves over their faces, are holding up signs calling for specific terror groups to target these kids. As a Jewish student is getting poked in the eye with a flagpole, it's so dangerous and threatening for these students, they can't even get to their classroom. By the way, when she made those remarks, I know at some point she was on the stage with Joe Biden, and Joe Biden says, "When she speaks, you gotta listen to her." My goodness. Again, the paranormal circus we are living in right now. But here's what Joe Biden had to say. TheDailyWire.com also shared this video. I think this was actually a Fox News video as Joe Biden was questioned by a reporter about all these anti-Semitic protests taking place on college campuses. Listen to what Joe Biden had to say.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I've been down there on anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being
abused. Should the Columbia University president resign?
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
All right, so there he goes, playing both sides again. Playing both sides once again. Undermining Israel, undermining the effort to combat terrorism and the terrorists that are in the Gaza Strip. But the other line that he had, I thought it was in that soundbite, but it must have been in another one here. There was another soundbite where he says how there were good people on both sides. He said there were good people on both sides. Man, I seem to recall another president using a similar line about how there can be good people on both sides of a debate. And that did not play very well with most in the media. But apparently it's okay when Joe Biden says it. So there you go. Let's see. Alan Dershowitz, he was also on with Sean Hannity last night talking about what cesspools these Ivy League campuses have become. But I would say that this rot extends far beyond these Ivy League campuses.
It was absolutely outrageous for President Biden to create a moral equivalent, the same kind of moral equivalence he complained about in Charlottesville, between anti-Semitic protests, which he condemns, and then he says, I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. What an outrageous moral comparison. Nobody could in any way support what Hamas did. Yet these kids are yelling, I am Hamas. We want to repeat the rapes over and over again 1,000 times. And he's equating that morally with people who reasonably believe that what's happening to the Palestinians is largely the fault of Hamas. It's absolutely outrageous, which is why I wrote a column today arguing that what is happening on college campuses today may be worse than what happened on January 6th, may be worse than what happened in Charlottesville, and we are not concerned nearly as much about it as we were about January 6th. January 6th involved a relatively small number of people, low thousands. They aren't people who are going to be our future leaders. Charlottesville didn't involve our future leaders. What's going on college campuses today, we are Hamas, means our future leaders, the people who will be in the editorial rooms of the New York Times, on CNN, in Goldman Sachs, in law firms, running for Congress. That's why it's more dangerous what's going on today. And thank you, Bob Kraft, for cutting off all your aid to Columbia. I've done the same. I don't have your money. With Harvard, with Yale, nobody should contribute to these Ivy League cesspools, which have become incubators for the worst form of anti-Jewish racism that I've known in my 85 years of life. This is a scary time. Yes, it is in some ways like 1933 in Germany, but in other ways it's not, because the Jews have Israel to defend it. And as long as the Jews have Israel, and Israel has weapons, including nuclear weapons, we won't see a repeat of 1941 and 1942. But we will see a repeat of 1933 and 34, where college students at the University of Munich and at the University of Berlin brought Hitler to power, brought Pol Pot to power, brought Castro to power. Young 23-year-olds can be among the most evil and dangerous people in the world, and we're seeing it happening at Columbia and NYU and Yale today. Shame on the presidents who have facilitated and allowed this kind of bigotry to occur in our universities.
You know, I was only going to play about a minute or a minute and a half of that clip there, but that last 45, 60 seconds of what Alan Dershowitz had to say there was important for us to hear. So I'm glad I kept that rolling there, because think back again exactly what he just said about the young people in Nazi Germany. Same thing happened in Iran. Same thing happened when the terrorists took over Tehran, the terrorists that Joe Biden and John Tester are now funding, allowing them to access their oil while they shut down American oil, gas, and coal. It was the young. Remember when we've had Dr. Merdad Kia on the program? Dr. Merdad Kia is one of the good people on these college campuses. He's at the University of Montana, and he actually fled Iran. He escaped Iran on one of the last flights out of there before the terrorists took over. But he will tell you, it was these young, idealistic revolutionaries that were the useful idiots that allowed the terrorists to take over Iran. And look at the path of destruction ever since that point. Look at the path of destruction that they have been on ever since that point. It is time to stand up to this nonsense. It is time to stand up not only to this nonsense in Tehran, Iran, but in New York City and elsewhere across this country. All right, quick break. We got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You have a president that wants these people to vote for him, and hence the president, out of fear, has had to make a choice. This, you know, you talk about a moment of choosing. This has been Joe Biden's moment of truth. And Joe Biden, when the votes were counted and they came in Michigan in the Democratic presidential primary, and over 100,000 Michigan Democratic primary voters voted uncommitted, that was 18.9% of the vote tallied. And basically sending a message to Joe that they don't like any support for Israel. Well, ever since then, well, Joe Biden has offered at best nothing but tepid support for Israel.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, everybody, your friend Sean Hannity here with a message that is all about your safety. Now, when it comes to protecting yourself, your loved ones, well, it's not about having a firearm. It's about understanding the continuum of force philosophy. Now, picture this. A situation arises where you or a loved one are threatened. Now, instinct may drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. Now, what if there was a way to effectively defend yourself, de-escalate a situation, without the irreversible consequences of deadly force? Enter Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. It is the less lethal pistol launcher equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo to incapacitate attackers for up to 40 minutes. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. No background check is required and can be shipped right to your door. Now, Byrna is proudly American, manufactured in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Just go to Byrna.com/Hannity. Right now, you'll get 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Hannity. Hannity.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Things that can't go on forever usually don't. That quote is attributed to Nixon-era economic advisor Herbert Stein. But he didn't exactly win the Nobel Prize for that deduction. Yet there are a number of things going on in the economy today that fit that description, but no one is planning for their inevitable end. Here's my list. Let's start with government entitlements. Social Security, Medicare, they're underfunded. They will crash in the sense that money coming in won't cover what's needed. In the case of Medicare, that will happen sooner. There's a bigger one, federal government borrowing. It's been going up like the proverbial hockey stick laid on its side. Flat for a long time and now boom. A $2 trillion addition to debt in a single year, double the previous year. There are more. Neglected infrastructure investment can't go on forever. Witness the tragic failure of earth dams in Libya. Ignoring the declining educational achievement of school-age kids can't continue without a significant decline in our relative economic status. I'm Patrick Brecky.
On Savo Entry Doors, the wait is over.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend. Studio. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Can I go off on another rant here about another topic? You're like, Aaron, what? Why are you pretending to ask for permission? We know you're going to do it, so why don't you just go ahead and do it? Hey, first, before I get into the other rant here, I mentioned this story, Montana cities watch U.S. Supreme Court case on homeless encampments. You know these cities absolutely do not want the Supreme Court to overturn their pro-transient excuse. They absolutely. This is going to be kind of interesting to watch. See, now I'm going on another rant here. This is going to be very interesting to watch. Anyway, we're going to have more on this topic. Maybe I'll hold my continued commentary on this Supreme Court of the United States oral arguments in Grants Pass v. Johnson case here, because we've got a great guest, Judge Glock. What a great name. This is Judge Glock. Man, what a cool name. A senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute is going to join us to talk about this topic coming up at 7:10. So I'll save more of my commentary on this. But it's kind of interesting that I think what the Supreme Court is going to do here is they're going to say, look, who are we? Who is the Ninth Circuit to tell individual townships and cities how to enforce their transient policies, right? Because right now they've got the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that is saying, no, you cities can't deal with the transient problem. You just have to let the transients do whatever they want to do. And I think what the Supreme Court's going to say, no, why don't you local folks decide how you wanted to handle these local issues. Isn't it kind of funny, though? Like some of these local governments who will cry and protest, they're taking away our local right to make these decisions. Now, some of these liberals in Bozeman and Missoula are like, no, take away our right to make these decisions locally. Like, they do not want the Supreme Court to strike this case down because it will take away one of their excuses for why they refuse to deal with the transient invasion in places like Bozeman and Missoula. Okay, we'll get more to that rant here in the 7 o'clock hour. But this is just, this rant doesn't even need to take that long. I casually referenced earlier, the Billings Gazette has photographs. Billings Public Schools and First Student show off the school district's first electric school buses during a ceremony on Earth Day Monday afternoon. Now, here's my rant. You know these electric school buses are very, very, very expensive. Now, of course, they probably got, you know, so-called free federal money, which is still your taxpayer dollars, to spend on these very expensive, inefficient electric school buses. I'm sure the electric school buses will do fine in a larger town like Billings, Montana. Now, don't try to drive the kids from Billings to Eureka in those school buses in the middle of February, might run into some problems. But for just, you know, driving back and forth around town, I'm sure they're going to be fine. Even on a cold day, I'm sure they're going to be fine, right? I hope anyway. But here's my rant. School District 2 will charge you extra money. All this, you think about how much you spend in property taxes to go to these schools. But if your kid wants to ride the school bus, you got to pay extra for them to ride the school bus. And this is my rant. You have these very expensive electric school buses that you're out here bragging about. Hey, how about you stop charging parents when their kids need to ride the bus to school before you start, you know, flaunting these very expensive school buses in our face? If you got enough money through this program or that program or wherever to have these expensive electric school buses, you shouldn't be charging kids to ride the bus to go to school. Man, that's where it's like, you see this crap and you're just like, my goodness, we're $35 trillion in debt, and yet they're just throwing money around like it's Ukraine or something.